The Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 2. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Here again, these words from our epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter. He, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the word of the Lord, please. In the name of Jesus, who died on the cross to take the punishment for all of our sins and who rose again from the dead to give us a new life with him that will last forever. Amen. I bring you greetings this morning from the Office of Mission Advancement of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and special greetings from Mission Central in Mapleton, Iowa, where I have the privilege of serving and sharing the stories of our missionaries who are telling the good news about Jesus all around the world. Today, we also rejoice in the important work that our Lord has done and continues to do through the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, truly Lutheran Women in Mission. For Mission Central and all who serve there, and especially for the LWML, it truly is all about Jesus. Say that with me. It's all about Jesus. One more time. It's all about Jesus. Now with Lutheran gusto, it's all about Jesus. This Jesus who emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, this Jesus who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, is the same risen and living Jesus who joyfully welcomes us sinners into his presence this morning. Not reluctantly, not begrudgingly, but eagerly and joyfully. Because he has wonderful gifts that he wants to give us here in this place. He forgives our sins here in those beautiful words of absolution. We just heard them a moment ago, didn't we? I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now the voice you hear is the pastor's, but the words come from Jesus himself. I forgive you all your sins. My friends, our sins separate us from God, and they would separate us from God for all eternity if they were not dealt with. And so the greatest gift that God can ever give to us is the forgiveness of our sins. That's why Jesus speaks to us here in his word. He speaks his word of law, which condemns us for our sins, and then he speaks his sweet words of gospel that direct our attention to Jesus, our Savior from sin. He listens to our prayers here, and he listens with love and compassion because he wants us to bring our cares and concerns to him. And he promises that he will answer our prayers, not always in the way that we want, but always in the way that will truly bless us, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And then Jesus delivers his gifts to us in his Holy Supper, right here at this altar. Gifts that you and I so desperately need. Jesus says, take, eat. This is Good Friday for you. Take and drink. This is Good Friday for you. Everything that I won for the world in my death on the cross, forgiveness, life, and salvation, I now give to you personally in my very own body and blood. This is my gift to you. And finally, the Lord places his blessing on us at the end of the divine service, and he sends us out there into the mission fields of our daily lives. Do any of you remember what the last word out of the pastor's mouth is at the end of the worship service? I'll get you started and you'll be able to finish it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Peace. His peace. That's the last gift that Jesus gives to you as you leave this place. His peace. The peace that passes all human understanding. The peace that the world can never give. The eternal peace that no one can ever take away from us. Because that peace is given to us in Jesus. That's why we've come to this place again today, isn't it? To be with Jesus and to rejoice in the gifts that he brings to us here. That's why we come here week after week, month after month, year after year. That's why we bring our children here and our grandchildren, our friends and our neighbors, new people that move into our community, because we want them to have what we have. We want them to come here and spend some time with Jesus. But what if there were no Jesus? Did you ever think about that? What if there were no Jesus? No Savior who lived a perfect life in your place as your substitute, the perfect life that God demands of you. No Redeemer who bled and died on the cross to take the punishment for all of your sins. No victorious Lord who rose again on Easter to give you a new life that will last forever. What if there were no Jesus? What if all you had was the black magic that they practice in certain parts of Eastern Africa? What if all you had was Vishnu, one of thousands of gods, false gods of the Hindus, or Gautama Buddha, who is the false god of the Buddhists, or voodoo witch doctors that are all over Central and South America? What if all you had was Allah, the false god of the Muslims, a god of wrath and retribution? Without Jesus, all these people have is fear and doubt and hopelessness and despair because they have no peace, because they have no Jesus. The prophet Isaiah writes that your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Can you imagine a worse situation to be in than that? Millions of people around the world have never heard about Jesus. They are dying in their sins because they have no peace, because there can be no peace without the Prince of Peace. Fellow redeemed, we have Jesus. We rejoice in the gifts that he brings to us here in his place. God's word reassures us that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is now no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My friend, there is no sin. There is no sin that you have ever committed that is so big and so terrible that it hasn't already been washed away in the blood of Jesus. He took all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of the condemnation for all of your sins, and then he put it all to death in his death on the cross. And all the false religions and all the false gods around the world, they all require that you sacrifice something for them. And you never know if you've sacrificed enough. But Jesus sacrificed himself for you so that you could be his forever. And that's the difference between Jesus and everything else. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We confessed it a moment ago, didn't we? Whenever we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just a little sin, not just a lot of sin, but all sin. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished," and he meant it. Your salvation is complete. It has been accomplished. My friend, you are covered with the pure white robe of Christ's perfect righteousness. And you are holy and blameless in the eyes of God, all because of Jesus. Do any of you know why pastors wear white robes? And it's not because we're wearing Bermuda shorts under here to keep us cool in the summer. That's not it. We cover our pastors in white robes because they're not the big deal. It's not about them. It's all about Jesus, remember? And so we cover them up to get the attention off of them and where it needs to be, on Jesus. But the most important reason why we cover our pastors in white robes, and I want you to remember this for the rest of your life, whenever you see a pastor dressed in white, you should immediately remember, that's how God sees me. That's how God sees me. So when you see Pastor Zeller up here with his white robe on, that's how God sees me. I am covered in the pure white robe of Christ's perfect righteousness. And I am holy and blameless in the eyes of God, all because of Jesus. That's what we rejoice in every time we gather together for worship in this place. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So why do we tell other people about Jesus in our daily lives? Why do we send missionaries and support missionaries around the world to tell other people about Jesus? Because we want them to have what we have. Because we want them to have what we have. We have forgiveness and life, comfort and joy, hope and peace that comes to us only in Jesus. We tell other people about Jesus who are drowning in the guilt and the shame of their sins because we want them to know Jesus and to receive the same gifts that we receive through word and sacrament. And maybe we can't go to those lands of darkness where they so desperately need to hear about Jesus, but we can certainly send someone in our place. And that's why we do what we do at Mission Central, to build relationships between our missionaries on the field and those who pray for and support them back here at home. And in our display table in the narthex, we have information on two of our brand new missionaries. They're not even on the field yet. They're so hot off the press, it'll burn your fingers when you touch the paper. We have information about how you can personally contact them and let them know that you are praying for them here at home. And if the Lord should lead you and your family to adopt your own personal missionary, to let them know that you are praying for them and supporting them here, well, we can certainly help you with that as well. And today, in Bible class, I will be giving you a whirlwind tour of all the exciting things that Jesus is doing on his mission fields all over the world. And you will hear stories and see pictures that are astounding and that will actually make you speechless. So I encourage you, and I hope you will join us for Bible class this morning and ask lots of questions as we rejoice together in the good news about our Savior Jesus. You know, in the book of Revelation, we read these glorious words, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and all peoples and all languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" My friend, when Jesus comes back on that glorious last day, when the eternal Easter dawns, and he comes and he makes all things new, there's no more suffering, and no more pain, no more tears, and no more death. That day of resurrection, I hope someone comes up to you and says, "You know, I'm here today because you told me about Jesus." Or, "I'm here today because you sent a missionary who told me about Jesus." Because as we all know, it's all about Jesus. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.